a wide range of interventions. I'll try to address those at least that I understood, starting with the last one. I'm sure there would be a lot of subcommittee members and committee members who would support saying there shouldn't be any exemptions for ODA. But what's the point of saying that if you then have a number of donor agencies and countries, and they're the ones who have the money to fund the ODA, who will say, well, that's very nice of you, thank you, it's our money, we'll do what we want. And we don't want to pay tax to you because we're afraid what you're going to do with the tax. That might be one case. Plus, you tax in situations where no one else taxes. You tax transactions that are extraterritorial. They might say that. So it's not as simple as saying there shouldn't be exemptions. If you want your work to be useful, you have to say, in some cases, we recognize some people will insist. There might be valid reasons. There might be reasons that we're not so sure they're valid. But in those cases, here are things you should take into account. They should be transparent. They should have force of law. The interaction with tax treaties and other instruments should be clear, and I think we've agreed during the subcommittee that we had to make that clearer in the guidelines. There are also a recognition that in some cases, even if you believe that another country should not tax your aid, the other country should recognize that they should not tax aid in the case of urgent aid needed for humanitarian crisis. So all these distinctions are made in the guideline. And again, if you really want the guidelines to be helpful, there has to be a buy-in by the donors. You just cannot take the perspective of the recipients. As regard the comment that there should be other stakeholders involved, the first thing I will note is that we made a conscious decision not to deal with non-governmental donors. We use the ODA definition, and that does not constrain to development assistance by members of the DAC, if that was the question. No, it's simply a definition that defines what is ODA in a way that excludes private donors, the NGOs. So that one we did address because we did discuss that our work was solely on governmental aid, including governmental aid provided through international organizations. Because again, there's no separate budget at the UN from that given by the member countries when they do provide their contributions. So that's the answer to that question. Stephanie, yes, a number of valid concerns. I'm not sure, and maybe Marlene, you got it, on guideline three, the reference to employee, I'm not sure I understood that one. Because again, guideline three refers to the fact that when you're having negotiation of tax exemption, there should be tax officials of the recipient countries. And the problem there is that a lot of these exemptions are concluded with ministries such as foreign affairs or education, and the tax people are not even there when the exemption is negotiated. That's what we're talking about. So I'm maybe on that one we could have, because we both look at each other and we weren't sure what was the issue. Well, the last sentence is exemptions provided to the donor countries. For us, that included their employees. The only thing we wanted to clarify in the last is that the subcontractors should not be covered by exemptions. So maybe it's not so clear.